return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Doing good things, amen. He's up to something good. Praise the Lord. We have Kids Rock in the back today, ages 3 to 1st grade, so if you fit that criteria, you can go back in the back. Not many of us do here, I don't think, but it's a blessing to have that available, that option here at the Tabernacle. All right, the rest of us. Actually, let me switch to my other mic here. Amen. All right. The rest of us, you can stand with me. Do you have your Bibles today? Amen. Lift them up. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we declare that, internalize that, amen. And you're never going to be the same because of the Word. The Word. Jesus says, you're clean because of the words I've spoken to you, amen. You've changed. You've been redeemed. You're not going to be the same because of the words I've spoken to you. And so we can use the Word of God just to transform our life. Amen. The Word will transform your life. Praise the Lord. All right. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about our attitude. So I posed the question, how is your attitude? Amen. Maybe this morning you had a very good attitude. Maybe you're a morning person. You just love waking up in the mornings. Maybe you're not, and you woke up with kind of a bad attitude, or they call it waking up on the other side of the bed, or on the wrong side of the bed, right? And, you know, our attitude, how we approach life, is so important. Amen? How we approach life, how we approach situations and difficult situations and circumstances is very important, because if we have a good attitude and we approach those situations with God is good. Nothing is impossible with Him. And I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to praise no matter what. We're going to have good days. Amen. We're going to have good days. We're going to feel good. We're going to have the praise on our lips. The Bible says that He trades us. We give Him our spirit of heaviness, and He gives us His garment of praise. Amen. So any heaviness that we have, we don't have to make an excuse to say, well, we all have heaviness. No, we can trade it in, amen, one-to-one trade for a garment of praise. Yep. Hallelujah. And attitude is one of those things, and one of the most important things that you can control, yep, right? There's some things in this life we just can't control, right? But, you know, if our car breaks down in the middle of the highway, it's hard to control that. But our attitude is something that we definitely can control. Amen. You see it on you know, when you play in athletics and sports, that coaches always want their players to have a good attitude. Attitude is one of those pillars of having a good team. Amen. If you have a bunch of guys on a team, on a basketball team, and they have a bad attitude, they're probably not going to go very far. But if you can get a team of kind of mediocre players or an average team who all have a good attitude, and you're going to go further than the guys that are more skilled but have a bad attitude. Okay? Our attitude, not our skill, determines our success. Right? So in life, our attitude determines our success. What's your attitude going to be today? How are people going to see you? Amen. Are you going to get upset when somebody cuts you off at the, you know, at the intersection? Or if somebody's going slow down 22nd Avenue South? Going 30 and a 35. How is your attitude going to be? Amen. We all deal with it every day, right? How are we going to handle it? When you get passed up for a promotion or a job that you really wanted, how do you handle that? God cares about your attitude. Amen. He doesn't just care about you doing the work for Him. He cares about how you do it. Right? So we can do everything for God and for Jesus. Amen. But if our attitude is bad, that's not pleasing to Him. Right? He cares about your attitude. It's one way that we represent Him in our life. Every Christian, we represent Jesus in some way or another. Amen. And, you know, and Jesus gets a bad rap sometimes because sometimes His people don't represent Him very well in a very good light. Not anybody here, I know that, but just in the body of Christ in general. Luke 6:43 says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." And so we're the tree, right? We're this tree, and we're producing fruit. Amen. Bible says that you will know them by their fruits. Okay? And so we're the tree, we're producing this fruit. And it says in verse 44, "For every tree is known by its own fruit." So you're known by how you walk in your daily life. I'm known in the community by how I live my life. Amen? And so we're all bearing fruit, but are we bearing good fruit? Are we bearing fruit that is going to elevate Jesus, or are we bearing fruit that's going to diminish Jesus? Amen. You could be somebody could be a Christian, love the Lord, but not have very good fruit come out of them. Yep. Amen. Amen. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. I'll back up. "For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." So what is he saying? Well, if you're thorny, if you're a thorny tree, right, or a bramble bush, you're not going to produce the good stuff, right? You're not going to produce the grapes, you're not going to produce the figs, right? But fig trees produce figs, right? Vineyards produce grapes. Amen? And that's what we want to be for Him. That's what we want to be for the Lord. If the attitude of your heart is hard, the attitude you show on the outside will be bad. Verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so what we put inside of us, hallelujah, and how we think and how we act and what we internalize, that's what we're going to speak out. Only you can only pretend for so long, right? So you might see somebody that on the outside, man, they look really good. They look really happy. But if they're not putting anything good inside, that's only going to happen for so long. Amen. But He wants us to have a fruitful life. He wants us to have a good quality of life. Jesus said that, "I've come that you may have a life and have it more abundantly." Amen. Amen. Abundantly doesn't just mean a long life, but a good quality of life. Amen. And that fruit that comes out and remains in other people's lives can be good or could be bad. If I'm coaching, I'm going to use the players that have a good attitude. Amen. If there's two players that maybe are similar in skill, I'm going to choose the player that elevates his teammates, that says good job, that has good body language, different things like that, right? Sometimes that's so much more important in basketball and any sport than the skill is, amen? Because you can have a good attitude and you can believe that things are going to go the way you want them to go, and just be positive, and the outcome will be different than somebody who maybe has a lot of skill, but thinks, "Oh, we're never going to win this game. I'm never going to make that last shot." Right? I want to have a good attitude. I want to be, when I take my kids somewhere, I want them to be respectful. Right? I want them to show the love of Jesus in their life. Amen? But how often do we look internally? So many times, you know, for for parents in here, we want our kids to act respectfully out in the world. But we might not be acting respectfully ourselves, right? So we raising a child up in the way they should go. But I guarantee there's sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I'm not the cheerful person that you see up here. Amen. But on our jobs with our families, we want to have a good attitude. We want to portray Jesus in the way he needs to be portrayed. Amen. Ephesians 4, let's go to Ephesians 4:21. The Bible says, if in fact you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. So this being renewed in the spirit of your mind, it deals with the heart, amen? It deals with your thinking, it deals with your attitude. Having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Renewing our minds means renewing our thinking, right? We want to renew the way we think. Renew the way we act. And in turn, it renews and refreshes our attitude. How many times a day do you feel like maybe you've missed it or you've messed up? You're like, I just need a reset. I need to reset my attitude. I need to reset how I'm looking at the situation. Sometimes it happens in real time, right? Where maybe you've had a morning, just one of those crazy mornings, and you just, nothing's gone right, and you're angry and you're frustrated, and then it's like, wait a minute. I need to reset. I don't want the rest of my day to go like this, right? You can do that in your life. You can do that daily. Just reset. Okay, where am I at? Where do I need to be? Amen. Where do I need to be? That's what this is talking about. Renewing our mental and our spiritual attitude. We have a new nature. Amen. With a new life. And a new attitude towards life. It says that regarding our previous way of life, we put off our old self. We just shed it. Right? We just completely, there's our old self. We're going this way. Amen. We're going to look forward. Amen. We're going to look forward. We're going to do the things that God wants us to do. Okay, I have a past. Okay, it's going to stay there. Amen. I maybe in the past I had a bad attitude. That's going to stay there. Amen. I want to move forward every day with a better attitude than the day I had before. Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Amen. Rene Descartes, a philosopher in the 17th century, said, I think, therefore I am. Right? What is it? It's about attitude, right? It's about how do you see yourself? How do you perceive your situation? Do you see yourself as enough? Or less than enough? Or more than enough? Amen. I think of, you know, when Moses was going to lead the people out of Egypt. And the Lord came to him through the burning bush, and he said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. I just can't do it. And it says the Lord got angry at him. And he said, well, don't you have a brother Aaron? Right? Don't you have Aaron? Or is it a nephew, brother? But he said, don't you have Aaron? Aaron can go with you. But I'm still going to speak to you, and you're going to speak to Aaron. Okay, you're not getting out of this, right? And so Moses didn't have a very good attitude. He didn't think he was enough, right? He thought he was too, he couldn't speak very well. He thought he wasn't worthy to take on this responsibility of leading the people out of Israel. But you know, as they spoke to Pharaoh, and as they had the miracle with the rod, amen. And as the plagues started to come, Moses got a lot more confident. Amen. And by the fourth plague, Moses was the one speaking. Moses was the one doing the things that God had wanted him to do in the first place. Amen. So Moses went from not thinking he was anything or enough to knowing that, oh, I guess God has really ordained me to do this. Amen. And in your life, what he's called you to do, he's ordained you to do. Amen. What he has in your spirit and what he's wanted you to do and whatever you're doing on your job or in your school, he's called you and ordained you to do that. He's anointed you to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can be confident no matter what. No matter what comes your way, you can be confident that, no, he has a plan for me. Amen. He has a good plan for me. Or Gideon, when Gideon was called or chosen to defeat the Midianites, right? And all the excuses that Gideon had. Well, I'm the least in my clan. I'm the least of, our clan is the least of Israel, and I'm even the least in my house, right? And what happened? Gideon went on to do great things in Israel. Amen. But it's all about your mindset. Amen. It's all about your mindset. The one thing with Gideon that always surprises me is, you know, he has the fleece and he needs the Lord to do it a couple times, right? So he I can't remember the first one, but douse it with water and he wanted to engulf it. And then the next one, I can't remember. I can't remember the rest of that one. What happened after that?
No water.
No water. No water. Yeah. Amen. Right? All about an attitude. But then Gideon, when he started to finally lead, realized, oh wait, God is with me. He is helping me. He is guiding me. Amen. He is there with me. Hallelujah. You will never have very much success if you're always telling yourself, this is impossible. Right? Like I said, attitude is more important than skill. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, he looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Yeah, it might be impossible with you, but not with God. That diagnosis might seem like an impossible situation, but not with God. Amen? So again, renewing our mind, renewing how we look at things, our attitude. We need to start agreeing with the Word about ourselves. Right? We want to agree with God. Agree with what the Word says. I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Kenneth Hagin just broke down faith, and what faith is just believing that what the Bible says is true,
amen.
Right? Do you believe what the Bible says is true about your situation? Do you believe what the Bible says is true about your healing, or about your relationships, about your family members, about your financial situations? Amen. When we believe in the Word and we believe the Word of God, our attitude is going to elevate. Amen. You should never go away reading the Bible feeling down.
Amen.
It's always going to lift you up.
Yep.
Amen. It's always, unless you read Deuteronomy over and over and over again, you're going to be lifted up by the Word, right?
Yep.
So we need to start agreeing with the Word about ourselves. What God has done for somebody, He'll do for everybody. Amen. He's not a respecter of person. So you know, if we tell someone, or if someone tells us that we can't do it, or you're not good enough, we know that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil, right? Because the Bible says we can do anything.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
I was at a basketball tournament this last weekend, and one of the places I had the scripture, I can do all things, and I thought it was really cool, and then but it says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And I thought, well, I like saying Christ. I mean, Christ is such an important part of that scripture. Amen. Him can be anybody. But I can do all things through Christ. Christ who strengthens me. Amen. When we get a bad doctor's report, what's our response? When we have a bad financial situation, what's our response? What's our attitude towards that thing? How we respond is important. Are we down and depressed and feeling sorry for ourselves? Or are we still living in the victory that He's already given us? Because He's already given you the victory. Amen? He's already given you the win. We have March Madness coming up, and some of these 16 seeds against the one seeds, the worst teams versus the best teams, they think they can win. Amen? In our life, we need to know that He's given us the victory. That He's already went before us. He's already prepared the way for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as we serve God, He's looking at our attitude, not just our actions. Remember when Saul was told to destroy everything from the Amalekites, right? And so he said, you're going to overtake him, you're going to destroy everything. But Saul kept a portion for himself and for his men. Remember that? And what does Samuel say? 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So we can do all these things for the Lord, and we can have great intentions, but if we don't have the obedience, the attitude of obedience in our heart, then is that greater than the less than the sacrifices that we made? No, it's greater, isn't it? Right? Having that obedience is greater than the sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Right? So how are we approaching situations? You know, there's a lot done, you know, especially in the past. There were a lot of things done in history in the name of Christianity, in the name of religion, right? Maybe I had great intentions, but it wasn't done with love. It wasn't done with the right attitude or a heart that's for the Lord, right? Obedience is an attitude, right? When you're obedient to somebody, you're humbling yourself to them. So we obey God, we're humbling ourselves saying, Lord, you know more than I do. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to submit myself to you because I know that's the right thing to do. I know that's going to be the best option. That's going to be the best thing, the outcome, right? The best outcome. We can think we're doing things for Jesus, but if we're not obedient, then they don't really matter. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Again, you know, remember when Elijah was on the mountain and the prophets of Baal, what, you know, they're calling down their God and they were, what are they doing? They're sacrificing, they're cutting themselves, they're doing things, right? That was all sacrifice to their God, right? We serve the living God. Amen. Amen. Yep. So in our sacrifice will come with obedience. Yes. Right? But obedience doesn't always come with sacrifice. Right? So if we're obedient to God, you know, the Bible says we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, amen, wholly acceptable to God. Yep. Obedience, with obedience comes sacrifice. Yep. When we have a bad attitude, we look at ourselves. Amen. When we obey the Lord and we do it the right way, we point the focus towards Him. Right? Bad attitudes bring forth selfishness. Right? And we don't want to be selfish. We want to be selfless. We want to look towards Him and point people towards Him. Amen? No matter what we're doing, we can do it with a right heart towards God. Pastor Dave talked about this last week, but I want to talk about it briefly again. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3 says, I meant 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. That was my fault. I have it here, though. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, I never really got that first verse until Pastor Dave was up here going, clang, 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 clang. You know, if you're praying in tongues and you're not doing it out of love, it just sounds like noise, right? But praying in tongues, I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. But if we do it, like in the upper room, when they were praying in the Holy Spirit, it was a beautiful sound, like a mighty rushing wind. Amen. And it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So what is this talking about? You can sacrifice all you want, but if your attitude isn't right, it doesn't profit you anything. Somebody else might still be blessed, which is great, but you're not going to be blessed, right? You might give all your goods to the poor, and that's going to help the poor, but if you're doing it with a bad attitude or a bad heart, you're not going to be blessed by it. Amen. God's math is that you give and you both get, right? Blessings or whatever it is. We can do all these things, which are good things, right? Yes. If we are martyred for the Lord, that's a good thing. But what's in our heart? Yeah. We want our attitude of our heart to be right. Yes. in this case, doing things in love, if our attitude isn't right, they don't profit us anything, right? If we give, it says they're good, but if we give money out to people, to the poor, and we don't have love in our heart, yeah, they get money, but we just that's just less money that we have, right? But if we do it out of love, we get something in return. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be monetary, it doesn't have to be whatever. We might just feel that amazing feeling of doing something nice for somebody else, right? I can work at the Union Gospel Mission, I can serve supper, I can buy groceries for my neighbor. But if I'm, I can't believe I'm doing this, I don't want to be here right now, I just want to be somewhere else. How much do I have in my bank account? Why am I doing this? Right? If I'm grumbling the whole time and complaining about it, that can't believe my church is making me do this or whatever it is, right? It does nothing for me. When we give to somebody else, what happens? Well, we learn to become humble, right? We become blessed, right? We learn to maybe be content with what we have. There's all these other amazing things and blessings that we get that have nothing to do with money, right? But if I'm doing it with the wrong heart, I don't receive any blessing from it. Because I deny myself the blessing. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you. But if I'm doing it with the wrong heart, I'm denying myself the blessing. Right? It feels good, you know, when birthdays come around, you know, when I was a kid, I loved getting presents. I loved getting birthday gifts and different things. But as you get older, it's more fun to give gifts to your children, isn't it? It's more fun to give it out than to receive those gifts. Not that I still love receiving gifts. June 24th is my birthday, by the way, so you need to mark your calendar for that. But it's so much more fun to give out, isn't it? Why? Because we love our children, right? God gives good gifts to us. He loves receiving our praise, but He loves giving good gifts to us. Just as you love giving into your children. Amen? And why is that? Because we have a good attitude about it. Right? We have a right heart about it.
Yes.
Amen. If you don't like giving gifts to your children, maybe check your heart. Right? If you're like, my birthday's coming up again. How much do we have? You know, maybe check your heart, right? You want to give good gifts, right? Want to do things for your children, for your family.
Yes.
Since we live in this world, when we do things for people in this world, it's easy to look at the selfishness and unthankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can give with the right heart and people just aren't thankful, right? People are selfish, they want more, right? But it's up to you just to keep your heart, okay, Lord, I see that, but I'm going to keep doing it because I know, one, that it's right, and two, I'm actually doing it for you. We got to remember that we're doing this under the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you're doing, think about who you're doing it for. You're not just doing it for the person or your kids or for your coworker. No, you're doing it for Jesus. Amen? And the Lord doesn't make us do anything, but He wants us to do it with a good heart. He wants us to want to do it, right? He wants us to be excited to give. Amen?
Amen?
If you're at work and you're just not a fan of your boss, you can complete your work by the deadline for Jesus. Amen?
Right.
Like, well, I don't really like my boss. My boss doesn't really like me. So I'm just not going to get this done. No, do it for the Lord. Amen? We all have people maybe that we're not a fan of or vice versa. I mean, the goal is to get there, right? To appreciate your boss and different things. But in the meantime, no, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Okay, I'm doing this for you.
Yep.
If you're in athletics, do it to the best of your ability with Jesus in mind that He wants you to give your all. He wants you to give your excellence. I talked about that before. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for excellence. And what is excellence? It's doing the best that we can do for Him. Amen. When you tithe or give offerings at the church, you want to do it, not because you feel obligated. The last thing I would ever want is for anybody to feel obligated or pressured by me to give tithes and offerings, right? But we give because it's what Jesus Because it's to him, amen, and because you want to. When you give money towards youth trips, those are blessings. Those are things that we can give that aren't obligations, but are that cause joy, amen. But we want you to be blessed by the attitude in which you give it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 9, just a couple more scriptures here. The Bible says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Remember the widow who gave the two mites, and all the other people were giving out of their abundance. It's just tons of money to the church. And who is the Lord more impressed with? The widow who gave the two mites, right? Why? Well, one, it was all she had. Well, I'm giving this to you. But two, if you do that, you're giving it because your heart's in it. Yeah. Amen. Right. You're giving it cheerfully. Yep. You're giving it with a good attitude.
Yep.
Amen. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you also, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it's written, he has dispersed abroad and has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So we give cheerfully, and it says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Amen. So when we give with a cheerful heart, then that grace, that unbelievable grace that God has for us, comes back and multiplies to us. Amen. And it says that you always having all sufficiency in all things. He's going to give you what you need. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. And it says that we may have an abundance, amen, we may have an abundance for all the things that I want, for all my desires. No, we have an abundance for every good work, amen. We're going to have an abundance to continue to give, right? We're going to have an abundance to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, he will supply your needs and give you desires of your heart, but in this case, he's saying, when you're a cheerful giver, amen, then you're going to have the grace, amen, and you're going to have the abundance for every good work to continue to give. You know, Dave Ramsey, his financial program, at the end, you know, like step 7 is basically give outrageously, right? Be an outrageous giver. Amen. Be somebody who, be an outrageous blessing to somebody, to people. Amen. So we can start right now. We can start with the words that we say.
Amen.
We can start with giving somebody a ride. I know, man, God bless many fire starters on Mondays because we start at 7 and different people, I'm just going to name one name because I could mention a bunch of names, but like Isaac Bene, you know, he has a car. And he'll drive around, he'll get people. Michael Abalo, drive around and get people. Camille, drive around and get people. I know I said one name, but others came to mind. But they'll drive around, leave at 6 or however early to get everybody there by 7. And that's such a huge blessing. That's out of the abundance of their heart. Amen. Cheerfully they do it. Hallelujah. And that's what we can do. Somebody's not feeling well, get their groceries. Amen. Other examples as well. Thank you, Lord. Be cheerful when it comes to giving to the Lord and to others. And only we can choose how we do something, right? It doesn't matter, you know, somebody who has everything that they could ever want could just have a bad attitude about life. And somebody who has nothing could have an amazing demeanor and a positive attitude about life. Amen. And who's going to be more blessed? Well, the person maybe that doesn't have as much, right? That always is cheerful, always is up, always is smiling. Amen. And a lot of it has to do with your quality of life. I said that God wants you, Jesus wants you, came to give you a good quality of life.
Yes.
Amen. And you can choose the quality of life you have.
Yep.
You can choose your mood. Amen. If you're positive all the time, you're just going to feel great a lot of the time. Right? If you're positive, have a good attitude, it doesn't matter what's going on in life, you're just going to have this just something about you that is always going to be cheerful. It's always going to look at the bright side of things. On the other side, you can have everything that you've ever wanted, all the money in the world, and if you don't know Jesus, right? Because He fills that hole in our heart. But if you have a bad attitude, if you are ungrateful for everything that you have, you're going to live a miserable life. Right? You're going to live a miserable life. I don't want anybody to live a miserable life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Only we can choose how we do something. Only we can choose how we live. So like for me, I hear snow, I think snow blowing. Okay? And I'm not a big fan of snow blowing. Better than shoveling. But I don't necessarily like snow blowing. But whether I complain about having to do it, amen, or sing praises to the Lord while I do it, I still have to do it.
Amen.
Right? There's so many things in life that we just have to do no matter what. So we can complain about it, or we can sing praises about it. Either way, I'm going to have to snowblow, probably again before the end of the spring here, winter spring. It doesn't change that fact, right? My attitude doesn't change. It doesn't alter the weather, right? It doesn't melt the snow faster, right? But I'm doing myself a disservice by complaining. If I have to do it anyway, then I might as well be happy.
Amen.
I can't say that it's always been the case. But if I'm gonna snowball, if I'm gonna do something that I don't necessarily enjoy doing, I might as well do it and be happy about it. Because I gotta do it anyways, right? If you don't like going to the store to grocery shop, you might as well have a good attitude about it and just go do it anyways, because you gotta eat.
Yeah.
Right? We just have these obligations that we need to do, but we choose our attitude about it. We choose our demeanor. We choose whether we're going to glorify God in it or not. The last thing I want to say here is how we handle ourselves can affect how people see Jesus. Okay, so not only does it affect us, our attitude, but it affects how people see Him. Amen. We want to act like followers of Christ. Right? Jesus never had a bad attitude. His attitude was never bad.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that, there are times where we're not angry or different things. Jesus, when He went to the temple, He had this righteous anger, right? He knocked over the tables, and he drove them out with the whip, right? But His attitude was never down, was never depressed.
Yep.
Amen. Even when He was in Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew what was going to happen, He always had an attitude towards people. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to have an attitude, a good attitude towards people. People on our jobs and people at our schools should know you're a Christian by your attitude.
Amen.
By your actions, but by your attitude. How do you treat people? Amen. How do you do your job? How do you do your schoolwork? Right? I'm not saying that we don't mess up. I'm not saying that we don't have bad moods, because we all do. But people do watch us.
Yep.
Especially if we say, I'm a Christian.
That's right?
If you're going to have a bad attitude, don't tell them that you're a Christian. We want people to know that, oh, hey, Randon is a pastor, and he, because I talk with people, and I am a part of a lot of different things just in Brookings, basketball things and mostly basketball things. But talking to people at the school board, I know a lot of people at the school board, a lot of teachers and different things like that. And they all know who I am. They all, they all know that I'm a pastor and that I pastor here at Holy Life. And so if I'm constantly in a bad mood around them, and I'm constantly complaining about something, complaining about the school, or I'm constantly complaining about, what's going on in town, or gossiping, they're going to relate that to my relationship with Christ, aren't they? They're going to say, oh, he says he's a Christian, and this is how he's acting. Do all Christians act like this, right? There's a responsibility. Being a Christian, we have a responsibility to the Lord. We have a responsibility to shine bright for him. Amen. Or else it's no different than somebody else who doesn't know Jesus, who is maybe has the same kind of attitude or the same demeanor that you have, right? So I always want to think about that. Top of mind should always be, how does Jesus look in this situation? You know, by the way I act, how does he look? Amen? And it goes back to whatever we do, do it to the Lord, or do it for the Lord as rather than unto men. If we keep Jesus in our mind as we go about our life, we're going to bring honor to him. We'll bring honor to his name. We'll bring glory to him. Amen. Philippians 1:27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Worthy of the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news, right? It's the salvation of Jesus Christ. So whatever happens, whatever you're going through, whatever that person said to you or did to you, right? Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Man, for us to even be counted worthy of the gospel of Christ is amazing to me. What Jesus did on the cross for us, that he counts us worthy to spread the gospel, the good news. Hallelujah. It says, then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. So again, when people see you or when people hear about you, amen, we want them to know that we stand firm in the one spirit. We stand firm in the Holy Spirit. Man, there's nothing shaking Pastor Dave. Wow. Man, that guy is standing firm in the Holy Spirit. Right? I wonder what's different about Dave, right? They probably wouldn't call him Pastor Dave if they didn't know him. I wonder what's different about Dave, right? Why is his attitude always good? Why is he always smiling or whatever the case is, right? We want people to know that we're standing firm, that we stand on the gospel, that we stand on the word. Amen. Do you think Joseph ever wanted to curse out the guards or Potiphar's wife? I mean, all the things that happened to Joseph, do you think there were times where he just wanted to blow his top? Probably, right? But he knew that his conduct was important. He knew that his conduct was important if the dreams that God put in front of him were to come to pass. Right? His conduct, his attitude, his demeanor was all important if these dreams were to be fulfilled. If he let a situation get the best of him, would he have been in any position to interpret dreams? Right. If he would have just, you know, the baker and the butler come to the dungeon and Joseph's over in the corner pouting, they'd be like, ooh, I need somebody to interpret this dream, but not that guy. Right. Not going to go to him. He's not approachable. Right. But no, because of his attitude, because of who Joseph was and who we knew he was in God. And for us, do you know who you are in Christ? We can be confident to know that we are a child of God. Amen. That we don't have to put on a front or anything like that, but we can walk confidently in knowing that. Amen. Would he have been in any position to interpret dreams of the baker and the butler, which ultimately gave him the meeting with Pharaoh? If he would have been too focused on his problem rather than on the promise, none of that would have come to pass. Right? Well, he didn't focus on his problem, but he focused on the promise. If you have a note, if you're taking notes, write it down. If you focus on the problem, you're not focusing on the promise. And God has a promise. He's called each one of you, every one of us, to something. And he has a promise for every one of us. When we allow our hard feelings, our big emotions, and our bad attitudes to direct us, we aren't allowing God to direct us. Right? The Bible says we lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. It goes back to doing things for him rather than for others, right? And we are doing things for others, but the focal point is him. It says that we acknowledge him in all our ways and he directs our path, right? Yep. And so if we have these big emotions and we're angry all the time. We have these bad attitudes all the time. We're not allowing God to direct us, right? Control the attitude that you bring with you every day, and you're going to see the promise of God in your life come to pass, right? The Bible says that our tongue is like a small rudder but turns a big boat, right? So what we say, what we do, how we act, those are all things that are going to guide our life, either down the path of righteousness or down the path of destruction, right? We all have a path. You know, we live life and we come to forks in the road and we can decide which way we want to go, right? But when you look back, you only see the one path. You don't see the forks anymore, right? There's only one path, okay? And our attitude will dictate what path we take. Our attitude will dictate, are we living our life for Jesus in a worthy manner of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are we not? And I know for a lot of us, it's we do both, right? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Bible says again, with God, all things are possible. You can live a life that glorifies Him every single day. Amen. You can have an attitude that glorifies Him every single day. Amen. And I just want to say this, the last thing I want to say here is that, the devil's going to try to, every day, he's going to tell you, well, that wasn't very good, right? Or he's going to try to make you feel guilty about the events of the day. If you mess up, that's okay. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better starting from now on. Amen. Because he's proud of you. I don't think that's said enough. He's proud of you. Amen. I'm sure everybody can, or anybody that's had children that can speak for the same, is that even if your child goes down the wrong path, even if they do something, you still love them, right? You still love them. Amen. Maybe not, there's some things that they did that you're you don't really like, but you're still, there's a sense of pride in your children, right? And God has a sense of pride about you. Just not ungodly pride, but pride, like He's proud of you. And He wants you to know that, amen? He's proud of who you are. Whatever your personality is, He's proud of that personality that He put in you. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know why I felt the need to say that, but maybe somebody here needed that. I don't know. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for who you are to us. We thank you that we love you because you first loved us, Lord. That you guide us and you direct us, Father. That we have no reason not to live a glorious life. We have no reason to be angry or upset or without joy because of what you did for us, Jesus. So even as we celebrate now, but in a couple weeks with Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we thank you that we can just have this attitude of gratitude, that we can just have a heart that's prostrate before you, Lord, in any situation. Hallelujah. We know that people are watching us as we walk. They see our fruits. They watch our steps, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that we can be... that we can live for you, and we can live a life satisfying, glorifying to you, Jesus. That people see us, when they see us, they know that, wow, Jesus must really change their life. Amen. And so we give you all the praise and glory. I thank you for a great week. For everybody here, blessings in Jesus' name, that you're blessing everybody here. You're keeping them safe, Father. We just know how much you love us and that you have good things for us, Lord, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What a top offering this morning. Yes. Yes. All right. Well, Firestarter is Monday. Wednesday, Alex Hegerfield's here. Thursday, Ladies Bible Study. We'll see you at all those. Except for the men at the Ladies Bible Study. I don't want to see you here, man. Amen. Have a great day. You are dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.